All of you know Jason. We're very proud of Jason. He has been a just absolutely world-class and wonderful minister for youth with families with youth here. He still works in that and the like. But I feel like I needed to say that because you may not be aware of this, but hundreds and sometimes thousands of people every week listen to our service on podcast. And I wanted them to know who was up here with us. So would you welcome Jason Stackel? Yeah, he gets applause. Today we are celebrating. It's a beautiful life marked by celebration, and we are celebrating the end and the beginning of some people's in some people's lives. It is the leaving of high school and now the next. What's next in their life? And it's a time of sadness and joy. You know, parents are proud of their kids at this stage, but we're also terrified. Did we say enough? Did we teach them enough? Did we get them ready? And the answer always is, no, I don't think so. But they're ready to fly anyway. And so we stand at the end of the runway when they climb in to fly for the first one. I've never been a flight instructor, but I often wondered what goes through their head when they finally give their student a chance to solo for the first time. They step out and say, you take it around. That's got to be a terrifying time. But I realized what they felt like whenever my kids left. You're going, oh boy, they're not ready. Maybe when they're 40, 45, but not now. And it's that little frightening thing. But it is a celebration, though. They've done well. They've done well. They've accomplished something, and they're moving on. And it's only right and proper that our congregation spend some time in celebrating this, because the Bible gives us celebration time to mark our lives. In the first chapter of the Bible, God created the sun and the stars and all this other. The Bible says to give us days and times and seasons to mark our progress. Then he goes even further. And he gives us Passover and the Feast of Tents and all this other. These national holidays and personal holidays and all religious holidays, all to mark the passage of time and our passage through this world. We do that. It's a good thing. I mean, my wife and I, tomorrow, I will be celebrating, but tomorrow I'll be celebrating that 31 years ago tomorrow I married my girlfriend, and that she's still my girlfriend today. That's a marking of time, and that's a very good thing. God gave us these things to mark our progress.
Throughout, as Patrick said, throughout kind of the history of God's people, there are different ceremonies, there are different things that are used as times of celebration. A lot of them God laid out for his people. And in the Old Testament, there's one in particular that I just want to talk about for a few minutes today called Jubilee. And it's, you find it in the book of Leviticus. It's once every 50 years. And what would happen is it was a time for God's people to celebrate God's provision, to remember ultimately who was the provider and who was the owner of everything they had. It was in that season that all debts were forgiven and all debts were canceled. And if you've got credit cards, you're wishing the next Jubilee Sunday was actually a Jubilee and that all your debts could be erased. But it was a time when all debts between people were erased. It was a time when people that had been put into slavery were released. It was a time, a year that no crops were planted and that what had been set aside was what they lived on. And it was a time when property was returned to its original owner. And so it was a season of celebration for God's people to come together and celebrate that what they had really wasn't theirs. It was God's, and that they had been given opportunity to take care of that. And today, as we celebrate the end of a chapter for our young adults that are graduated seniors, now we do a very similar thing. We celebrate kind of a releasing of them, a beginning of a new season, and a realization that, and this is hard sometimes as a parent, I know as a parent of a child myself, that my child is not ultimately mine. That my child is God's, and God has entrusted that child to me for a season to shape and to form him. And all of us have had that role as parents. And as a church, as a community, each of us, you know, some of you may remember, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, may remember having some of these seniors when they were little kids in class and teaching them. So many of you have contributed to the shaping. And what we celebrate today for them is a new season. It's a jubilee. It's a releasing them into the world. To do the work that God has called them to do. It's a time of jubilee.
The celebration is not just this time of year, though. For the Christian, celebration should be involved in absolutely everything we do. And that's just, it's a shocker to some. But if your religion isn't a celebratory religion, get a new one. Because think of what God has done for us. In Colossians chapter 2, we're going to use a couple of passages. Colossians 2, starting at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Wouldn't you love to live a life overflowing with thankfulness? Wouldn't you love to be known as somebody who overflows with thankfulness? That's what God says we're supposed to be. Because of what God has done for us, we're supposed to be a people that just, it just is pouring out of us, this thankful heart, this thankful spirit. The problem is, without celebration, religion becomes a very dull, legalistic thing. It's where you go to check the box. I went to church, so I'm a Christian. No. That's backwards. Because we're a Christian, we go to church. Because we're a Christian, we give to the poor. Because we're a Christian, we treat everybody with kindness and grace. That doesn't make us a Christian. That's a result of us being transformed by God. That's a result of us being Christian. We can't wait to be with other Christians, and then we can't wait to go from there and find other children of God and tell them the good news. Because it's celebration. Think of it this way. What if we looked at our marriage, and some people sadly do, like we look at church? Now what if 31 years and 2 days ago, or 2 days after you're married, I'm not doing the math, 2 days after you're married, I went to Cammy and said, all right, so we did the wedding thing and we're married. What's the absolute minimum I can do to stay in this thing? If you can just give me a list, that's all I'm looking for, the borderland territory, and how often I need to do it. It'd be really handy if I could get it all done in an hour on Sunday. I'm just saying. It bleeds a little bit into Wednesday night. Fair enough. But, you know, keep it simple. Do you think we'd be celebrating 31 years? No. She'd be celebrating the 31st anniversary of the time she shot me. And she would have been free a long time ago, you know, because the way sentences work. So that she's brought that up to me a few times. Anyway. Good behavior. And the point is, if you reduce marriage to those little actions of absolutes, what have you done? What have you done? We've reduced Christianity to that. What have we done? What if when you come home and you say, honey, I'm home, what's the response you get? You hope it's a, hi, good to see you. You hope it's not a, oh, you're here early, I haven't finished reloading or something. You want it to be a joyful thing. We ought to be looking at God all the time saying, honey, I'm saved. I am sanctified. I am justified in the eyes of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, the whole chapter, but we're just, look at the first verse. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you pray to God? You know, you drive along every now and then, you look in your rearview mirror and you see a police car. What do you do? Tense up a bit, right? What if you saw God? What would you do? If your answer isn't, I would wave and go, hi, you got a problem. Because we're supposed to have peace with God. The word there is justified. When you read a book now, the letters are even on the sides of the writing. Used to be, back in the old days, you would type like a church bulletin once, and then you would count the ends of spaces to the end of the line. Then you'd have to do the bulletin again, working those spaces manually into your words to make the columns look straight. It took forever. Now it's done for you automatically, isn't it? That's just great. Or if you get a document that it isn't done for, you just go, and it's done. I wasn't right. I was all ragged edged, but God already took care of that, and I've got peace with God. That's good news. And it amazes me that there's not more of a spirit of celebration in God's people, because they have traded renewal for rules. They've traded a relationship for religion. They've worried about the outside, but they don't worry that much about the inside. And when the rules fall away, what do you got? You got nothing. We're worried about these kids. We really are. Oh, they're great kids. Don't get me wrong. But we're worried because they're kids. Compared to us, right? And we've heard the speeches. Every single high school graduation speech goes something like, "It's our world now. We're smart. We got our degree." You know, and you know, And we know what's going to happen to them. In about 3 months, they're going to be college freshmen, the lowest form of life known on the planet. And they're going to have no privileges and no power at all. And they're just going to run around huddled, you know, just going, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, please, you know, as they're running about. Because we know life isn't like that. You don't get to go out and throttle it. You just don't. It throttles back. In fact, it throttles first. We're afraid for them. If you built your relationship on rules, now they're gone. You don't have any power over them. But what if it was built upon celebration of what Jesus is doing in our life? Then you can let them go. Because you know it's going to continue. It may not go all the directions you wanted it to, but it's going to continue. Now I'm going to let Jason talk about this. Joy is a decision. You can decide to be joyful. You can say, you wouldn't be joyful if you knew what was going on in my life. Yeah, I would be, because I decide to be. It's not like I don't wake up in the morning going, woohoo! No, I don't. But I choose to woohoo before the day's over. I'm going to find a woohoo moment. I don't know what it is yet. Hadn't happened yet today, by the way. But it will, I promise. Because I choose to have joy. You can choose to have joy or not. Isn't it amazing? It just gets me. People will clap more for a sports team than they will for Jesus. They get more excited about... When was the last time you went to a Tigers game, for example? And they said, here, we have tickets right up behind the dugout. And you go, no, I don't want to be that close. I sit in the back. I want to fight the seagulls in the top. Where the game is basically a rumor. You know, that's where I want to go, right? You don't do that. Or whenever they hit a home run, do you ever go, yeah, it's a home run, but I think it curved a bit. I don't like that curving bit. That is curving bit. But we do that with worship. We'll hear a song, and instead of going, yay, we'll think, I didn't like that song. Somebody missed a note. Maybe you heard wrong. Maybe your ears are full of something else. Why doesn't God get more vuvuzelas? You know what I'm talking about? You know, why? Don't bring them here. I'm just saying, out in the parking lot, run around, you know, and after 7 days, if this falls down, then we're in trouble. But enjoy. Why doesn't God get the noise? I know some of you like the World Cup, and I decided to watch it yesterday, and it was, wow. Because this guy kicked it, and then this other guy kicked it, and this guy was going to kick it, but he didn't kick it. And then another guy kicked it. And I was thinking, that's just really all I can... That's my excitement meter has pegged. I'm turning now. Maybe a show about making cakes is on, you know. I'm just kidding. I just found out there is a show about making cakes. I'm going, really? Really? There's somebody out there that goes, I need to watch cake. But anyway, why is it, don't distract me, why is it that we are more joyful about that than we are about God? That doesn't make any sense at all.
I almost pulled out my iPhone to show you my Vuvuzela app, but I decided not to.
Cut it loose during a song. See what happens to Jeremy.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, as Patrick said, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this first part because Patrick talked about this several weeks ago as we were working through kind of this Marked By series. He talked about Marked By Joy. But joy is not based on happenstance. Joy is not based on what happens to us in life. Joy is found in obedience. It's found in a daily regimen, a daily devotion, a daily dedication to being in the presence of God. And one of the things that's probably one of the most frustrating for me in youth ministry, and it's true of all ages, it's just we adults nuance it and hide it a little better, but it's so often I see teenagers in the church who are always waiting for that next mountaintop experience. You know, here in a couple of hours, I'm going to go home, throw a bunch of stuff in a suitcase, and live on campus at Rochester College for a week for Elevate Camp. And some of the students here are going to be a part of that. We've got some visitors in town. I saw my guys from Salient who are here somewhere. I'm back in the back. Just say hi, guys.
Hey,
they're
guys.
They're a band from Nashville. They're really awesome guys. So if you get a chance to say hi to them, be sure you do that. But we've got a week-long Elevate Camp. And I see so often teenagers who will spend weeks and weeks and weeks just saying, I can't wait till Elevate. And they so look forward to the mountaintop experience that they miss the day-to-day opportunity to dwell with God, to be with God, and instead they focus on those moments. And then after that's over, well, what's the next big event, or what's the next big camp? And we even do it in our adult lives. We just, like I said, we hide it a little better than they do. You know, you don't Facebook about it every day. You know, 9 days to Elevate, 8 days to Elevate, 7 days. There are teenagers that really do that. But we dwell in those moments instead of missing the ongoing obedience, this obedience daily to God's commands, to what God tells us to do and be about. And that allows us to deal with joy even in the darkest of moments. That joy is not something that depends on whether I'm having a really exciting day. You know, going back to the sports analogy, you know, if joy were based on circumstance, Lions fans would never be joyful. But Lions fans can be joyful and still not very happy. So joy is not based on our situation. It's trusting in God's provision. It's, again, going back to the idea of Jubilee. That Jubilee happens whether life is going great or not. That celebration happens and we have joy no matter what. You know, it reminds me of an old hymn, Trust and Obey. And I'm not going to sing it for you. And all the teenagers in the audience are going, thank you. They've heard me sing, or at least try. But trust and obey, this idea of trusting in God. It comes out of work. It takes work and dedication. I want to share with you a couple of verses out of Philippians 4. If you're still at Colossians where Patrick was, you probably don't even have to barely turn the page. Philippians chapter 4, which is the book right before Colossians. I want to start in verse number 4. And I want to share with you a couple of verses that I think Paul gives us some incredible wisdom of how to find joy and celebration in our lives. And what's ironic is he's just saying these words after talking about two people who are in conflict. And this is what he says. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I want you to listen carefully to Paul's words, because Paul does not say ignore difficulties in your life and you'll have joy. He doesn't say act like everything is always rosy and you'll have joy. He says deal with the reality of life. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, bring it to God. And it's when you partner with God, it's when you're in relationship with God, not rules, not religion, but when you're in relationship with God, it's in that place that you can have joy and you can have peace, even in the darkest of moments. You know, that word peace is a word that, you know, originally in the Hebrew is this word shalom, which meant far more than like the absence of war, but it was an idea of completeness, of wholeness. And joy comes out of feeling complete and whole, and that is not based on situations. That is based on our standing with God and our relationship with Him and our trusting in Him. And so we release our cares to Him, not in the fact that they're not there, but in the fact that we trust in God and that we lay things at God's feet. And this idea of thankfulness, and it was also in the Colossians passage that Patrick read, that we are thankful and that we remember that God is God. We are not. And then the last verse I want to read is the next verse in verse 8. I think Paul gives us some really wise words. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It is the discipline, and I believe as I read that list about true and honorable and just, that's a description of God. And so ultimately, I think what Paul is saying is focus on and think about the things of God, about being pure and just and true and all of those things. And it's in those that we find peace, and it's in those that we find completeness, and it's in those things that we find joy. And that's what disciplines help us do. You know, we've just spent the last 12 weeks, this is the last week, we've been going through the 12 disciplines talked about in Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. And I just this week finished another book by Foster called Streams of Living Water, where he explores six different streams of Christian traditions. And in every single tradition, he tells stories of Christians, some of them recent, some of them early, first, second, third century, and everywhere in between. And what I hear in every single story is dedication and devotion to God on a daily basis. That their lives were immersed in God. That God was not a hobby or a sidebar in their lives, but God was central to who they were. And it's very evident that they focused their lives in the kind of things that Paul is talking about here. And what all of that reminds me is that celebration comes from the inner person, not from the circumstances around us.
I'm not going to speak long here. I just want to do a caution for you. If you don't fill up with God, you're going to fill up with something else. If you fill up with something else, it's not going to fill you up. It's just going to leave you hungry. You know, if you decide you're going to enjoy the world by being drunk or by being high, it's kind of a bizarre thing to say the only way I can enjoy the world is to become numb and withdraw from it. It doesn't make sense. You're going to miss your life in there. Because other people will say, I'm going to really get into sports, or I'm really going to get into politics, or I'm really going to... Be careful that you don't get taken away by something which is replaceable next year. I kid my wife, because before I married her and ruined her life, she was a figure skater, and she likes to watch figure skating. And the kids will kid her as well. They'll say, oh, is this a championship? Because they have like 4 a week. And we'll tease her and tease her. And then I'm sitting down watching like the USGA, and watching golf. And she'll say, is this an important one? I'll say, it's a major. Well, how many majors are there? There are 4, but they're kind of majors as well. There's the Memorial, and then there's the Players, and now the FedEx Cup, and these are really important. And so I'd like to go home now. You know, that type thing. And, you know, oh, I hear something upstairs. Run. You know, that type. It's so easy to get, ooh, look at this. Look at this. This is very important. Then it's over. And, well, it's not important anymore, is it? We're going to have to do it again next year. Don't try to fill up with empty calories. You're just going to end up with a hangover. You're going to end up with some really embarrassing clothes. You're going to end up with some music choices that you're going to tell your kids you never bought, but you did, because you followed the crowd. We need to find a way to find our joy in something which isn't out of date tomorrow.
If we really, truly want to celebrate life and find true joy, we must find our rest in God. It's like Patrick said, all the things that he mentioned are temporary. And a lot of times they're to escape or they're to numb us, but they're not places where we find true joy. And I think really the key, and I talked about this several weeks ago with our teenagers downstairs, it comes down, I think, to what voice are you listening to? And in John chapter 10, Jesus is telling a parable, and he's talking about him being the shepherd, and he's talking about the sheep. And I want to read with you just 2 verses in John 10. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in verses 4 and 5, in the middle of this parable, this is what Jesus says. He says, when he has bought out his own, talking about the shepherd, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And so the question I want to ask as we think about celebration and joy is, what voices are you listening to lead you? What voices? Is it the voices of the media? Is it the voices of entertainment? Is it the voices of our culture? And there's nothing wrong necessarily with, you know, we don't have to hide in a monastery and get away from all those. But what are the voices that drive and lead you in life? Because when things are good, it's pretty easy sometimes to breeze through life and be happy. Because happiness is based on our situation. Joy is not. And so we can think we're joyful when we're happy. But it's very hard to think we're joyful in difficulties if we don't truly have joy. You know, think of it this way. Imagine if I called you up here and I blindfolded you and I turned all the lights off. And I told you that, this doesn't work for me anymore, but imagine there was like a pizza buffet in the lobby. And 6 months ago I would have loved that. Now I'd be like, ew, maybe not. But anyway.
You're not half the man you used to be.
I'm sorry?
You're not half the man you
used
to be.
No, I'm not. And I have to go spend a week eating at the college right now. Thank you. But imagine there's something out in the foyer that you really, an iPhone 4. Sorry, just broke the Ten Commandments, didn't you? I held one yesterday and I almost did. Anyway, I get distracted. If there was something out there you really wanted, and you were blindfolded, and it was pitch black in here, who would you follow? Would you follow a voice you were familiar with and knew? Or would you follow some voice you didn't know at all that said, hey, walk this way? And what Jesus is saying in this parable in John is that the voice that you're familiar with is the voice you're going to follow. And if you're going to find true joy, and if you're going to find a true celebration in life, the voice you need to listen to is the voice of God. Because every other voice is going to lead you to a dead end. Every other voice is going to lead you to a place that's temporary. But the voice of God, if you're listening to it, will lead you to a place of joy and of celebration. Even in the darkest of moments, it's a voice that you know you can listen to. And so it takes me back to that Philippians 4:8 passage. You know, things that are true, that are worthy of praise, things that are good. Those are the things and the voices that we need to listen to, so that whether it's good time or bad, that we can find that joy that lasts. And our voice, God's voice can be heard only when we dwell with God. And so celebration results in this, a life surrendered to and lived in God.
Bring your team on up, would you please? We'll finish this off. I love that whose voice you're listening to thing. The way I look, I do it a little bit different, and that is, whose hand are you holding? I can remember as a little boy going to the zoo. Maybe something like this has happened to you as well at the mall or something. But you're there, and yeah, you're seeing the monkeys or whatever, and you're going, oh, that's great, isn't it? You know, and you look up at your dad, and it's not your dad. It's, you have somehow lost contact there. And I can remember how terrifying that was. And eventually the zoo security staff found my parents in another state under an assumed name. And it was quite the trauma there. Whose hand are you holding? True joy is knowing that you're holding the hand of God.
Choose joy.
And choose Jesus.
Choose celebration.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for the acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of trumpets. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clashes of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.